And we're holding on Tzadik Vav on the Beis, the second line from the bottom. We learned in the previous piece about the Pasuk, we talked about Amon and Moav trying to convince Nebuchadnezzar to come attack the Jewish people, and they quoted the Pasuk, Tzur HaKesef Lokach B'yadai, Hashem took the bundle of silver in his hand, representing that there are no tzaddikim to protect them anymore. So now the Gemara is going to talk about the time leading up to Yemos HaMashiach, when there's also going to be the same kind of thing, as the Gemara is going to go on to say, where there's going to be a lack of tzaddikim in the world. So therefore, now that leads the Gemara into a whole silver about Mashiach, about Ifrisa de Mashiach, and about Mashiach himself. That's how Rashi explains the connection with now we're going to start talking in the next couple of days about Inyoni Mashiach or Geula, about all about Mashiach and Ikhla and Chevle Mashiach and Ikhvis and Mashiach and all of that. The Yad Ramah gives another point as well that we learned before, also in that back and forth between Amon and Moav and Nebuchadnezzar, that they had said there's a fixed time for Golos Bavel, that therefore he had said, but what if the Rishoyim do Tshuva? And they told him, doesn't matter, their Nevi'im said that it's going to be 70 years of Golos Bavel regardless, so therefore now the Gemara is going to talk about the length of our Golos. So the Gemara starts off, Amar Rav Nachman l'Rav Yitzchak, Mi Shmi'alach Emas As Osi Bar Nafli. Rav Nachman asked Rav Yitzchak, have you heard when Bar Nafli is coming? Amalei Man Bar Nafli, who is that? Amalei Mashiach. So Rav Nachman says, I'm asking about Mashiach. So he says, Mashiach Bar Nafli Kodesloi, why are you calling him Bar Nafli? Amalei, and Rav Nachman says, Ein, yes, the reason I'm calling him Bar Nafli, Dichdib, because the Pasuk says, Vayimahu Okim as Sukkas David Hanefelas. On that day, I will raise up the fallen Sukkah of David, which refers to Malchus Beis David, which fell. So therefore, in token of that, Mashiach, who's going to restore that kingship, is called Bar Nafli. So there are quite a lot of explanations among many different Mephoshim. Fine, but still, why call him Bar Nafli? Why not straight out call him Mashiach? So one point is because there is this point, he is going to restore not just the fallen Malchus Beis David, but the Jewish people who are fallen in Golos. There's the idea the Gemara is going to talk about over here about the difficulties that are going to be before Mashiach comes, that last falling. So therefore, we're talking about like you're going to have when are we going to see that you have that ultimate degree of falling where then Mashiach has to come at that point. And then there's a lot of explanations also. You know, it's brought famously that David HaMelech himself was only supposed to live 3 hours when he was first born, and other magicians saw that and was shown that, and he gave him 70 years of his life. So therefore, in that sense, David himself, the progenitor of that whole line, would have been a Nephil, would have been a stillbirth. And therefore, Mashiach, his descendant, who continues and then completes what David did, is therefore also called Bar Nafli.
David HaMelech didn't have any descendants.
No, of course David HaMelech had descendants. Oh, we talked about the other day, yeah. I mean, ultimately, we said that Yoyash, the one surviving son of Ahaziah, the one son of Ahaziah, stayed alive, and eventually he became the king. As we talked about the other day, that most of David's descendants were wiped out. But even then, we said that might be primarily his descendants through Shloima, which granted Mashiach has to come from them. There may have been there apparently were descendants left from other children of David as well. But yeah, even from Shloima, you had that one left, Yoyash, and the whole Malchus Beis David continued through him.
Through Shlomo or through Yoash?
It's through Shlomo. Ultimately, the Rambam said, well, Shlomo is an ancestor of Yoash. The Rambam, when he talks about the definition of who Mashiach is, he says he has to be Mizera David Ushloima, that he has to be from the descendants of David and Shloima. There's a Sicha someplace where it ever talks about what the significance of it is. It's not enough that he's descended from David. He also has to have the qualities of Shloima. So yeah. But in any case, yeah, Yehoyash is several generations Ben Achaben from Shlomo.
So how do you prove that you're a descendant of David if there is no, there's nothing else in Chazakah today?
It's a good question, and I don't know. I guess when you have a person who is what the Rambam calls Bechezkas Mashiach, who starts doing the things that the Rambam describes that make it very likely that he's Mashiach, at that point, at some point, the Eibishka is going to arrange that there will be a Sanhedrin reconstituted, and he'll go to them, and they'll figure out the matter, or the Yoanovi will come, and he'll tell us, or whatever. I don't know. We really don't know. I mean, you have families nowadays that have a Kabbalah that they're descended from David. So such things exist. Anyway, I was going to say in Chassidus it talks about the idea that Mashiach represents the ultimate in bittul to Hashem and to Elokus, and therefore that's another reason why he's called Bar Nafli, as in like fallen, like he has no metzius of his own beyond the metzius of Hashem. Anyway, so the bottom line is the question was, when is Mashiach coming? Okay, the Aruch HaNer points out, even Rav Nachman knows, Rav Yitzchak can't possibly know when Mashiach is coming. Nobody knows. What he means really is, he's asking what is going to be the kind of, what are going to be the kind of simonim where we see that Mashiach is coming very close. What kind of fallen state of society are we going to see? Amalei, so he answers, Hochi Amar Rav Yechanan. This is what Rav Yechanan said. Dersh ben David ba boy, the generation where Ben David, where Mashiach is going to come in it, Tamar HaChamim is smakim, the number of Tamar HaChamim in the world is going to be very greatly reduced. Vashar, and the remaining Tamar HaChamim, Einehem Kolos B'yogin Va'anocha, their eyes will fail. In other words, they're going to be looking and expecting, but they're going to be waiting out with sorrow and with trouble, with Tzores Rabbis, Gzeres Koshes, Mischadres, and there's going to be many Tzores and many Horish Gzeres that are going to be renewed again and again, Adcha Rishonef Kuda, so much that by when the first one is just finishing, Shniyam Maheres Lovay, then the second one is already hurried up and coming. It's going to be one sora after another, basically. Marashah points out that Pekuda is also related to, you have the expression by the Chet Egel, over Yom Pokdi, on the day that I remember and then decide that the Jewish people are going to be punished for something else, then there's also going to be included a punishment of the Egel in it as well. So therefore, Adshar Rishon Pekuda, by the time the first thing that's an outgrowth of the Chet Egel is done, then another thing is going to be starting. So in short, in other words, it's going to be a time of one trouble after another, and then Mashiach comes. The Maharal makes a point over here in his Chidushim on the sugya that basically, since Mashiach is a whole new metzius, so the coming of Mashiach and the world of Mashiach is a whole new metzius. It's a world that has hardly ever existed before, except I guess you could say before the Chetei Tadas. Therefore, like you have the famous metaphor for it is when a seed is going to be growing into a new plant, it has to first rot away in the ground. The same way the entire old order has to go away in order for Mashiach to come, and therefore that's what the Gemara is expressing over here with this. So the Gemara continues, Tana Rabbanan, Shavuah and Ben David Baboy, the week, meaning the 7-year cycle in which Mashiach is going to come, it's going to be as follows. Shona Rishona, during the first year of it, Meskayim Mikrozeh, the following Pasuk is going to be fulfilled. As the Pasuk says, V'im Tarti Al Ir Echos, the Navi says, I'll make it rain on one city, Val Irachas Loy Amter, but on a nearby city, it's not going to rain. So in other words, there's going to be like a patchy kind of drought in some places, but not others. Shnia, in the second year, Chitzei Rav Mishtalchim, there's going to be arrows of hunger being sent. In other words, there's going to be a famine everywhere. Shlishis Rav Godol, in the third year it'll be an even worse famine, it'll be a great famine. O Mesim Anoshim V'Noshim Batach, men, women, and children will die, Chassidim V'Anshe Maisa, as well as Chassidim and people of good deeds, of mitzvahs. The Torah Mishtakachas Milamdeha, and the people who learn Torah are going to be forgetting Torah because they're not going to have what to eat. Revius in the fourth year, Soiva, but ain't no Soiva, it's because things are going to start improving beginning from the fourth year. There's going to be plenty, but not a lot of plenty. So there's going to be a little bit of plentifulness. The famine will be easing up, basically. B'chamishis Soiva Godol, in the fifth year there'll be great plenty. V'ochlin v'shosin v'smeichin, people will be able to eat and drink and be happy. V'atoda chazeres l'mdeha, and Toda will be restored to those who learned it, because now they'll have food again. V'shishis koilos, in the sixth year there will be voices, or sounds. Rashi gives two explanations. One is that there will be voices, there will be rumors that Mashiach is coming. The second explanation is that it means the sound of the great shofar. V'hoya bayamu, you talk of a shofar Godol. Several other explanations include that there are going to be, the Yad Ramah explains that there's going to be sounds of thunder. There's not going to actually be rain, but there's going to be sounds of thunder and of great noises. So there's going to be that. But Shvius Milchomis, in the seventh year Maharshal gives another explanation as well. Koilos means we find in Psukim that when Hashem decides that a nation is going to be punished, then Hashem makes that with a great noise. So therefore, the great noise represents, Maharshal says, that in the sixth year represents the punishment of the Goyish nations. But Shvius Mochamas, in the seventh year, there's going to be wars between the Goyim and the Jews, Mochamas Goygomogog. But Matsoy Shvius, then David Ba, and on Matsoy Shvius, on the year after that Shemitah cycle, then David Mashiach is going to come. So that's going to be the savior of things. Omer of Yosef Hakama Shvius Zahava Kain Vale also. So Rav Yosef says, haven't there been many Shemitah cycles when such things happen, when there was famine and then plenty and so forth, and Mashiach hasn't come yet? Omer Abaya, so Abaya answers him, Vashishis Kolos Vashvius Mohammas Mihava, did it go all the way through? Do you have those Kolos in the sixth year, however we define Kolos, and wars in the seventh year? No. So in other words, the process started, but then it got interrupted in the middle. So in other words, it was represented, so maybe it was a time when Mashiach could have come, but in fact he didn't. In fact, actually, when we said before at the top of the Amud, that Mashiach is, or the bottom of the previous Amud, that Mashiach is called Bar Nafli, that's another meaning that's given why he's called Bar Nafli. A Nafel, again, we said, is a stillborn baby. So imagine a woman goes through an entire pregnancy and birth and everything, and the baby unfortunately doesn't make it. So therefore, it's the same way. Sometimes we have the process, or this whole process leading up to Mashiach begins, but then it never completes. It never gets aborted, so to speak. So yeah. The Oid, and also Abaya says, Kisidron Mihava, did it happen in the exact order that the Braisa says? No. So those weren't harbingers of Mashiach. Those may have meant that it's possible, it's more likely for Mashiach to come at that time, but you can't say, that you can't wonder why it is that the process didn't complete, because in any case, it wasn't even in the exact order that it says in this Braisa. With that said, of course, there are various possibilities that it may mean periods of history rather than literally years one after the other, and then we can see there have been, if we look over the sweep of Jewish history, we can actually find that all these things have happened in succession over the centuries. Really, these are the kind of things of which the Rambam says we don't know how these things are going to play out until they actually happen. So we know that Mashiach can come at any time. Even if we don't understand right now what it means in terms of these kinds of descriptions of things one after the other. So the Gemara continues by quoting up the pasuk, Asher chirfu oyvecha Hashem, your enemies Hashem have made fun, Asher chirfu ikvas mishichecha, they've made fun of and they've mocked the steps of your Mashiach. So in other words, the golos is going on so long that people are mocking and saying, Chas v'shalom, Mashiach is never going to come. Now, what is this pasuk doing over here? And it's in parenthesis, in fact, because the Maharshal points out, based on what Rashi is going to explain over here, it doesn't really belong over here in the Gemara. Because the Gemara is not doushing in it. The Gemara is just like quoting the pasuk, and usually when the Gemara is going to quote a pasuk, it's going to doushing. But then Rashi says what it is like this. At the end of Sota, it also talks about what's going to be before Mashiach comes. You have the famous thing, the ikvas Mashiach chutzpah yaske, there's going to be tremendous chutzpah and various things that the Gemara is going to go on to quote over here. So it may have been that there were versions of the Gemara where it quoted that and then brought this pasuk, Asher cherfu ikvois mishichacha, where ikvois means the footsteps, but it also means the time immediately before. So in other words, at that time, yes, there's going to be a lot of chutzpah in the world and all the various other societal problems that the Gemara is going to go on to describe over here. So Tanya, we learn in a Braisa, which is very similar to what you have at the end of Sota. Rabbi Yehuda, I'm a Dershim and David Baboy, in the generation where Mashiach is going to come, Beis Havad Yilaznus, the first thing is, the place where the Talmid Chachamim would gather to learn Torah is going to become a place of Znus. So either it means it's going to be abandoned and it's going to be left for Zoinus to be used over there, the Yad Ramah says it's going to be a generation of such Christus that they're going to make open places for Znus. All these things, by the way, as we go through the Gemara over here, we can very much recognize them in the society around us, so we can definitely see it is high time for Mashiach to come. When we talk about, when the Rebbe talks about over and over in Sichas, that we can literally see in the Gemara every single thing that it says that needs to happen has in fact happened, then yeah, it strengthens our knowledge and our emunah that Mashiach has to come now, because, yeah, all these things have already happened. Anyway, the Golil, the north of Eretz Yisrael, will be desolate. Gavlon Yesham, and Gavlon, which is another area in or near Eretz Yisrael, Yesham will be desolate. The people of the borders of Eretz Yisrael will circle around from one city to another to go beg for tzedakah, and nobody will have rachmanis on them. Rashi gives a second explanation. Rashi gives a girsa. Anshe gozis, the people of the lishkas gozis, meaning the Sanhedrin, the Tamina Chachamim. And in fact, there's a girsa. The Yad Ramah brings a girsa, not gvul, but gvil. Gvil is parchment, such as you write Sifrei Torah on. So Anshe Gvil would be the people whose full-time occupation is Gvil, is the parchments of Torah, to learn and teach Torah, and they're going to be circling around from one place to another, and they're going to, and nobody's going to have, and nobody's going to care for them, nobody is going to pay them any attention. There are actually, when we talk about Gavlon over here, there are a couple of possibilities what Gavlon is exactly. It's someplace near Eretz Yisrael, but, anyway, the Rabbi Yehuda continues, the Chochmas HaSofrim Tisrach, the Chochma of the Sofrim of the Tamina Chachamim will be spoiled. Nobody's gonna be interested in it, like you wouldn't be interested in a spoiled thing. The Yireh Cheti Masu, those who fear sin, Jews who are from Jews, who fear sin, Yimasu will be considered disgusting, or Pnei Adur, Pnei Kelev, and the face of the generation will be like the face of a dog. So one thing it means is, in other words, they will literally look like a dog, Rashi brings. Another meaning is they won't be embarrassed of one another, just like dogs, for example, mate publicly and do other things, and they're not embarrassed of one another. There's a very famous explanation brought from Rabbi Cyril Salanter that says when you see a person out walking a dog, the dog runs ahead of the master, and it makes it look like the dog is the one leading and deciding where to go. But every so often it looks back to see which direction its owner wants to go, and then goes in that direction. So the metaphor is, in other words, the leaders of that generation are really going to be followers, just following whatever public opinion is, instead of being actual leaders and helping to shape public opinion and explain to people what the right thing is to do. They're just going to go ahead, they're just going to go along with whatever the common people want. Var emes ne'ederes, and truth will be lacking. As the pasuk says, emes ne'ederes, as the pasuk says, emes will be lacking, or the Gemara is going to explain in a second, another meaning of ne'ederes, v'sorme romi shtolol, and the pasuk continues, one who turns away from evil will be thought to be foolish. So the Gemara says, my back to hear emes ne'ederes, what does this phrase mean, that emes will be lacking? Now, it can't mean that emes will disappear entirely. Marsha points out, the Gemara elsewhere tells us, for example, that even when Yerushalayim was destroyed, even at the time of the Churban, there were truthful, honest people in Yerushalayim. So you can't say that at the time before Mashiach, emes is going to be completely gone from the world. So Ami Dvei Rav, they say in the Yeshiva of Rav, Melamed Shenasas Adorim Adorim, this means that truth is going to become groups and groups, Vahilachas Law, and going away. Meaning, in other words, truth is going to be so unwanted in the world that the people who want to be truthful are going to gather into groups and go and, like, have to go out to the deserts and things like that in order to continue with their truthful ways, because nobody's going to be interested in them in society. Another explanation is also, it means that as you have nowadays, you have many different groups of Jews where each one claims to have the truth. So therefore, adorim adorim, you have groups upon groups, each group claiming to be that our derech in Torah is true and no other one is. So therefore, so you have that. What does that last phrase in the pasuk mean? The one who turns away from evil will be mishtolol amid ve'rab shila. So they said in the yeshiva of Rab Shila, it means at a time like that, before Mashiach comes, kol misha sor meira, a person who turns away from evil, who avoids doing avedas, mishtolol ala brias, people are going to consider him foolish for it. They're going to say, why aren't you getting away with whatever you can get away with? So in other words, in short, there's going to be a terrible breakdown in society before Mashiach comes. All of these things have positive angles as well. In fact, Ben Yehoyada goes through them one by one and explains you can find a positive aspect in each one of these things. When you say, Beis Avad Yil Znus, First of all, he points out the word znus is also related to a word znim, which means different kinds of spices. So it means on the contrary, the Beis Avad, the place, the Beis Hamedrash, is going to be a place of many different spices and fragrances of Torah, and also Meloshin Mizonis, that people are going to come there to be nourished with Torah. V'agolol Yechrav, Golol is Meloshin Golos, so there won't be, the Gzera of Golos will be Yechrav, will be destroyed and will be bottled. There won't be a Gzera of Golos on the Jewish people anymore. Also, Golol, he says, is Meloshin Golol V'Doifet, the things that are used to cover a grave, so there won't be death anymore. Bila Amavis HaNetzach, as it says in the Pasuk. Vagavlon Yishoimim, he says Vagavlon Yesham, or Gavlon is another name for house sayer. So it means the house sayer is going to be destroyed. Rolam Hashiv Bahatsiyah, and we're going to go up to judge house sayer and punish it for Hoysal Hashem Amlocha. The people of the Gvul, the people of the border are going to be wandering around and nobody's going to pay them any attention. He explains the people on the border are the Klippos. The Klippos that are on the border between this world and Gan Eden, so they're going to be going around, and nobody's going to be interested in them because nobody wants Klippos. People want the truth of Torah. People want Kedusha. So nobody's gonna pay any attention to them. Chochma stoy from Tisrach. He continues. Tisrach is also like we find in Parshas Truma, the Serach Oidif, the overhang of the curtains in the Mishkan. So Tisrach means to become great. The Chochma of the Sofrim will become great. The Yirei Cheti Masu, those who fear sin, will be abhorred. People are going to say, you're going to say, I'm afraid of doing Averis? What do you mean you're afraid of doing Averis? You should be on a level beyond that, on a level where Averis are not a concern for you anymore. And Pnei Adur Kepnei Kelev, he says, a Kelev, a dog, is Kuloi Lev, it's all heart. It's very, very devoted to its master. So therefore, so the great people of that generation will have that good quality of the dog. Emes Nederes, and he says that you're going to have groups and groups of people who are learning the truths of Kabbalah. And also you have people nowadays, he says, in earlier times, people learned Kabbalah privately. Now you're going to have entire groups of people who are coming and learning it together publicly. And the Somero Mishtolo, somebody whose only his Mila is that he doesn't have Averis, but not that he's doing mitzvahs, he's going to be considered foolish because everybody knows a person has to be Somera and Vasetoliv. This is Ben Yehoyada says this. The Gemara continues. Now, we're talking about the fact that in the time before Mashiach comes, truth is going to be lacking or is going to be divided into groups, etc. So the Gemara digresses to talk about truth, about places even in the world where you can find truthfulness. Omar Rava, Meresh Havamin. I used to say, Lekha Kushta Ba'alma, there's no place in the world that's completely truthful. There's nobody in the world who always speaks the complete truth. Until Omali Ahumin Abanan Rav Tovus Shmei, until Rava says one of the Chachamim named Rav Tovus told me the following story. Ra'amila Rav Tavyumi Shmei, others say that his name was Rav Tavyumi. Now, this person, whatever his name was so honest. D'i have a Yavale Kol Chalola De'alma, if they would give him all the treasures in the world, Chalola literally means the hollow. If they were to give him what's in the space, if they were to give him even all of the treasures that are in all the space of the world, lo yahav mashani b'dibure, he would never change his words. He would never say something untrue. So he tells the story. Zimna chod ikli lai hi astra lahu astra v'kushta shmei. One time, says Rav Tavyumi or Rav Tavus, I visited a place called Kushta. Kushta is the Aramaic word for truth. In later times, by the way, they took the name the city Constantinople among Jews they called it Kushta. Whether that's the same city of our story, doubtful, but I don't know. Anyway, so I visited this place called Kushta. V'lo yahav mashani b'divurayu, they are also nobody would ever say something untrue. V'lo yahav mayis inishmei hosin b'lo zimnei, and the result was nobody in that place would die prematurely. So Rav Tavyumi or Rav Tovus says, I found that to be a very congenial place to live. If they're all truthful people, and he's also a truthful person, then it's a great place to live. Nisivi Itza Minhoim, so I married a woman from that place. V'havali Tautin Vinin Minon, I had two sons together with her. Yoy Machad Havayasra Dvesu V'Kachayfa Reisha. One day, he continues the story, his wife was sitting and washing her hair. Asoy Shibavka Torfa Adosha. And a neighbor of hers, a woman neighbor, came and knocked at the door. And asked where she is. Sovar, now Rav Tovus thinks to himself, Lav Urach Ara, it's not Derech Eretz to say that she's washing her hair. Omaloi says to the neighbor, Lesa Hocha, she's not home right now. After that, unfortunately, Shrivule Taut and Bnin, both of their sons passed away. The children die over here. That never happens over here. Like we said before, in this town, nobody ever dies prematurely. Also, Inshi Da'astra L'Kabe, the people of the town came to Rav Tovus, Omer Lei Mai Hai, they asked them what happened. Omer Lehu, Hochi Havim Mais, and he tells them what happened. Omer Lei, so they tell him, Matos Aminach, Puk Me Asrin, we beg of you, please leave our place, Vele Tigari, Bohu Mai Sana, Bahanach Inchi, so you don't provoke death to come to those people, meaning to us. In other words, you were not 100% truthful, and therefore, you lost that protection of this place, that nobody ever dies here prematurely. So now that you caused premature death to come to our town, then we can't really have you live here anymore. We want to keep our status and our ability, that our special bracha from Hashem, that nobody ever dies here prematurely. So in other words, in short, Rava is saying, you see from this story that there really are, even now, people in the world who are 100% truthful, which therefore bears out when we said before, that tia emes nederes, it doesn't mean that emes will be completely gone from the world. It just means that it's going to come into small groups and go away. So we see that, in fact, you have, for example, a small group, like in the city of Kushta, where you actually have that. Okay. Getting back to Moshiach, now getting back to Ikrisa de Moshiach, the Gemara continues, Tanya, Reb Neharoi Omer, Dursh of the David Baboy, in the generation when Ben David, when Moshiach is going to come, Na'orim Yabinu, this also we have at the end of Sota, Na'orim Yabinu Pneiskenim, young men will shame the face of their elders, Uskenim Yamdu Lefnei Na'orim, and the old men will have to stand up in honor of the young men, where it should be the other way around. Usually the young men should be respecting the elders. Bas Kama Be'ima, a daughter will stand up and oppose her mother. The Kala B'chamosa, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Or Pnei Adorka Pnei Kala, the face of the generation will be like a face of a dog, like we said before. Ve'in Abden, Nesvayish Me'ovid, and a son will have no embarrassment of his father. Now, here also you have positive angles on it. Here also Ben Yehoyada talks about the positive angles on it, that it means that the young men will be Tamid Chachamim, and they're such great ones that they'll shame the elder Tamid Chachamim, because they're going to come up with greater Chidushei Torah, and then they'll stand up in front of them, because they'll realize what distinguished Tamid Chachamim there are, and the same way that even, and then when it says Bas Koma Be'ima, he says the other way around. It means the daughter will stand up out of respect for her mother, not stand up against her, but stand up out of respect for her, and the same way the daughter-in-law for the mother-in-law, even though usually a daughter-in-law and mother-in-law don't get along, but in the time before Mashiach comes, it will be that way. The Rebbe also has on this particular one an explanation that it means, you know, you have nowadays, but in the last few decades, you have the whole Baal Tshuva movement, where you have children who grew up with little or no knowledge of Yiddishkeit, and they come and they discover on their own, or through the Chabad houses or whatever, they discover Yiddishkeit, and therefore they shame their parents in a positive way. In other words, that their parents have reason to be ashamed. Why didn't we teach you Yiddishkeit, and we're so glad that you discovered it on your own? So in that sense, you have that positive angle as well. The Gemara continues, Tanya Reb Nechemya Omer, Dursh Ben David Baboy, in the generation where Mashiach is going to come, Ha'azus Tirbe, Chutzpah will become greater, V'ha'yoyker Ya'aves, and the yoiker will be twisted. Rashi says two explanations. One is that yoiker means honor. So people will not honor one another. Covered, the fact that a person should have covered for somebody else, will be twisted. Rashi's second explanation, yoiker ya'avis, means those who are supposed to be honorable and respectable are going to be the twisted people. They're going to really be, when you look behind the scenes, they're going to be the cheaters and the dishonest people. And again, there are several other explanations and several other geuses over here of exactly what this phrase means. Covered will be twisted. People will not give each other the proper covered that they're supposed to, and the people who themselves are supposed to get covered themselves are going to be twisted people. in Sota, when it has this, instead it has a Yoko Yamir, which means prices are going to go very high up. There's going to be a lot of inflation. That Geffen Yitin period, the vines will give their fruit, the Yayin Beyoker, and wine will be expensive. So now she says either that it means that the Paris won't have a bracha in them, so even though there's a lot of grapevines, no vine will produce very much juice, so you won't have very much wine. Or the other explanation, now she says people are going to be drunkards, so therefore the price of wine is going to be high, because even though there's going to be a lot of wine, there's also going to be so much demand for it that the demand will exceed the supply. The nepcha kol hamalchus leminus, the entire government of the world will turn to minus, to improper beliefs. There's actually an uncensored Rashi that explains that it means in particular they're going to all believe in Christianity, which is a perversion of Yiddishkeit. The entechecha, and nobody's going to be giving musa, nobody's going to be giving teichecha to tell people you're doing something wrong. Here also, Ben Yehoyada goes through and finds positive things in them. Azos is a positive thing. Hebe Az Kanomer, after all, so it means you'll have a greater degree of that. The Rebbe also talks about similarly as far as Azos. You know, you have the positive kind of Azos. Think of it that motivates 5,000 shluchim and their families to be around the world and put in Azos to be returning people to Yiddishkeit. So that kind of Azos is a very positive thing, and therefore there's going to be more of that when Mashiach comes. He explains that it means that people, Ben Yehoyada explains, means people who consider themselves important now, people are going to think, Ya'aves, that's a twisted way of doing things. What do you mean you're looking for cover for yourself? That's not the appropriate thing. Va'geffen yitin period, the geffen, the vine, refers to the Jewish people, so the Jewish people will increase in toto, meisim tovim, and wine will be expensive in the sense that toto is compared to wine, it will be considered very precious. And the government becoming minus means on the contrary. It means they won't believe in their old religions anymore. They're just like this minim, just like the original minim threw off Yiddishkeit and then believed in something else. The same way these guys are going to give up their false religions and then start believing in Shev Mitzvahs B'nei Noach and in the basics of Yiddishkeit. And there's not going to be people who do things wrong such that you should need to give them musar. So on that last one, we said that there's going to be nepcha kol hamalchus leminus. The Gemara says misayle le Rabbi Yitzchak. That last point supports what Rabbi Yitzchak says. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, ein ben David ba, actually tesapach kol hamalchus leminus. Ben David, Mashiach will not come until the entire government turns to minus. Whether we understand minus as false, twisted versions of Yiddishkeit, whether like Ben Yehoyada says on the contrary, it means that they'll abandon their false religions, whatever it means. In other words, you know, nowadays you have many governments that believe in all kinds of shtusim that are harming society, so that can also be included in minus.
Can it be kafira, like atheism?
It can be atheism, yeah. It can be all the different kinds of all the nonsense they have nowadays in all kinds of different societal areas, yeah. So my Omar Rova Mikra, where's a pasuk that expresses this point, as the pasuk says about a mitzvah, kulay hofach lovan tahor hu. When he turns completely white, then he's tahor, meaning what you have, a person is complete, the body is completely covered with tzaras, and precisely because of that, he becomes tahor in the same way, precisely when the whole malchus becomes minus, then it means that Mashiach is on his way. The Gemara continues, Tanan Abanan, you have a Braisa teaches based on the following pasuk from Hazinu. Ki Yodin Hashem Amei V'Gomer, Hashem will stand up for his people. Rashi, in a few places, by the way, explains that the word Yodin, the word Din, has several different meanings. It can mean to judge, it can mean to punish, and it can mean to champion. So here it means that Hashem will champion the cause of his people. Ki yira ki ozlas yod, because he will see that the strength is gone. The efes otzur v'ozuv, and there is no otzur in ozuv. Rashi on the pasuk explains that otzur means people who are gathered together in battle formations, and ozuv means people who are strong. So there's going to be no ability to even field an army in battle and be able to be strong. So then Hashem is saying that Hashem will champion the cause of his people when Hashem sees that they have no gashmiyistic strength anymore. So the Gemara explains, Ein ben David ba ad shiyuvu hamasoras. Ben David will come only when there are a lot of moistrim, a lot of people who master Jews to the goyim. So because in other words, we can explain Oz Las Yod can mean, like this, we were saying that Oz Las Yod means the strength is gone. But here the Gemara is explaining on the contrary. Oz Las means, and Rashi mentions this on the Pasuk as well, that Oz Las means it's becoming stronger and stronger. The power of the Goyim and the power of the Moisrim is becoming stronger and stronger, and they're being very successful. So therefore, so that's the time when Mashiach is going to come. Dover Acher, another explanation, Adshi Smat to a Talmidim, until the number of Talmidim is reduced. So there we understand Ozlas, meaning weakened, so there the hand, the power of learning Torah is going to be weakened. So it's two things. There's going to be a lot of Moistrim, and there's going to be few Talmid Chachamim. Dover Acher, another explanation, Adshatichla Pruta Minakis, when a Pruta is gone from the pocket. In other words, in a simple meaning, it means when people are very, very poor. There are actually several interesting explanations of that one, Adshatichla Pruta Minakis. First of all, the Alter Rebbe points out in the Igeres HaKodesh Yud, that what it means is, when you have a time when Tichla Pruta Minakis, when people are desperately poor, and still they're giving tzedakah, and not being concerned about their own financial situation, then that's a time that brings Mashiach. So tichla prutam in a case, in the positive sense, that people are not saying, because I'm poor, I can't give tzedakah, nevertheless, they still strengthen themselves and give tzedakah. A couple of other interesting explanations include that it means that it's going to be a time of such riches that nobody's going to bother. You're not going to find a pruta in the pocket of tzedakah, because who's going to bother giving pennies? The least that people are going to give is larger amounts. In a similar vein, also, Ben Yoyada points out, it can also refer to the fact that over time, governments have replaced small coins with paper, and small denominations with paper money. So, like, literally, you have no pruta coin anymore. What you have instead is a pruta dollar bill or something. So it all fits with that.
Somebody mentioned that the U.S. now wants to get rid of the penny.
They talked about that now. The United States has talked about that. The government has talked about getting rid of the penny. Yeah, so that's another example of how to tickle pruta in that case. Yeah. Another explanation of Ki Yira, that Hashem will see Ki Oz Las Yod, another meaning is that the Jewish people will Chas V'Shalom give up on the Geula altogether. Shenema, as the Pasuk says, V'Efes Otzuv Ozuv, as the Pasuk continues, there's no Otzur and no Ozuv, which means that there's going to be nobody, again, who rules over the people and strengthens the people. Kavyochol Ein Semech V'Ozuv Yisrael, Kavyochol is going to come a point when the Jewish people feel as though there's nobody to help them and support them, and that's when Mashiach is going to come. So the Gemara says, Ki Hod Rav Zeira, as you have the story with Rav Zeira, Ki Hava Mashkech Rabbanan, the Ma'aski Day, when he saw groups of Tamil Chachamim sitting and talking about what are the simonim of when Mashiach is going to come, Omolahu, he tells them, B'matusa, I plead with you, Loi Terachakua, don't cause Mashiach's coming to be delayed by doing that. The Tanya, as we learn in a Braisa, the Tanena, we learn in a Braisa, Shloisha Boin Behesach Adas. There are three things that come in a time of distraction, like they come unexpectedly without a person looking for them. Ve'elohen Mashiach, Metziah, Ve'akrav. Mashiach, the coming of Mashiach, finding something, you find it unexpectedly, and a scorpion comes on a person unexpectedly. So in other words, in short, Reb Zera is telling the people, your job is to learn Torah and do mitzvahs, not to go and sit and delve into what are going to be the exact societal conditions that are going to be before Mashiach comes, because then that's not Hesach Hadas. Now, what does that mean? I mean, we're constantly talking about Mashiach, we're constantly pleading for Mashiach and talking about and then learning about it right here in the Sugya and all over the place, learning in Yonah Gula Mashiach. First of all, Maharshal says, by the way, the comparison is Mashiach, when he comes, can be, depending on how a person is prepared for him, he can be a positive thing for a person, like a Metziah, you find an unexpected treasure, versus he can be like an Akrav, like a dangerous scorpion, all depends how a person prepares himself for it. But in any case, the Rebbe talks about in a number of places that really what it means is the Hetzach Adas means that Mashiach is going to be the whole concept of Mashiach coming is something l'mitam v'das. It's something that we don't even really understand how it's going to happen. So the Hetzach Adas doesn't mean that we delve into Mashiach and try to understand whatever of it we can. But ultimately, we realize that it's beyond our das to understand how it's going to happen, and we have bitul, we're mevatel our das today. So therefore, so Reb Zera is telling the the people and is telling the Chachamim of his times, basically. If you're going to be thinking into this, it means, in other words, you're going to start rationally calculating when Mashiach can come. Mashiach is beyond the whole concept of rationality. So instead, you need to have a munah in it. You should be learning in Yonah Geulah Mashiach, but don't be like you have to figure out rationally what are the conditions under which Mashiach is going to come, because the whole thing is beyond any rationality. It's Behesach Hadas. The Gemara continues. Omer of Ktina, Shis Alpha Shni Havu Alma. All world is destined to last 6,000 years. V'chad Charuv, and after that there's going to be 1,000 years when the world is destroyed. We learned earlier in the parak there's going to come a point when we said the whole world is going to be covered with water, and the tzaddikim are going to be floating above the water on their wings. So why? Why 1,000? Shenema, because the pasuk is v'niska v'Hashem levadei by yoyim ha'hu. Hashem alone will be exalted on that day. Now a day of Hashem is 1,000 years. So therefore, so it represents that there's going to be a world when there's going to be no nivroyim, just Hashem alone. Abaya amatrei charuv. Abaya says there's going to be 2,000 years of that time of Choruv. Shenema, as the pasuk says, Yichayenu miyemayim, Hashem will keep us alive during the 2 days. Again, 2 days representing 2,000 years. Vayem Ashlishi, on the third day, Yikimenu, Hashem will raise us up. The Nifya Lefanav, when we will live before Him. So in other words, after that 2,000 years, there's going to be a time, there's going to be like a whole new world. So on the surface, what we're talking about is exactly that, and it means that the physical world that we know of is going to be destroyed, and there's going to be just a world of Ruchnius. We talked about earlier in the Perek, that Rambam in particular holds that eventually that's the ultimate state of the world. That Rambam learns that it means you're going to have Tchias and Mesim and all that, but eventually everybody is going to die, and there's going to be a world of only Neshamas, and that Rambam defines that's what we really mean by Olam Haba. Again, all the many different other Rishonim disagree with him, and Hasidus also disagrees with him and says there are going to always be gufim, there are going to always be physical bodies. And earlier in the Perek, we had the point about the tzaddikim floating above the water on their wings. And there's a lot of places in Chassidus that it talks about that this Chad Charuv and Trei Charuv represents the world is going to be on a so much higher level than it is now, that it'll be as if it was destroyed, in the sense we won't recognize the Gashmias of the world, because that Gashmias will be brought to an incomparably higher level, to the point that what we think of as Gashmias, all we'll see is V'nigla Kvod Hashem, V'ro Kol Bosa Yachtav, every person will see with their physical eyes, Kipi Hashem Dibur, the energy of Hashem that pours into everything. So therefore, in that sense, there's a world that's destroyed, meaning, in other words, it's not a world that any of us would recognize right now. But it will still be a world. And it also talks about, the word charuv is related to Yavrav Chanina Mendoza. Famously, it says, would live off kav charuvim from one Erev Shabbos to one Erev Shabbos, to Erev Shabbos. He would live off a kav of carobs. So therefore, charuv represents a really high level of connection to Elikus of the kind that Rav Chanina Mendoza had. Chad Charuv versus Trei Charuv, because you have different levels of Makif. You have Makif HaKorev and Makif HaRochel, because it talks about Chassidus. You have the closer encompassing level of a Lakos, you have the further one, and therefore that's represented by 1 or 2,000 years respectively. So the Gemara continues. Tanya Kavaseder of Ketina. We learn a Braisa like what Rav Ketina says. Keshem Shashvias Meshametes Shana Achas Hasheva Shonim. Just as you have one Shmita where the land rests out of every 7 years. Kacha Oyla Meshamet Elof Shonim. The Shiva Salafim Shana. The same way. The world has 7,000 years, of which 1,000 it's going to be resting, and it's going to be not the kind of world that we would recognize. Shenemar, Niska Hashem Levade VeYemahu, as we just quoted the pasuk, Hashem will be exalted alone on that day. But Omer, and another pasuk says, Mizmer Shir LeYom Hashabbos, which means LeYom, which means Yom Shekulei Shabbos, means there's going to be a day which is entirely Shabbos. So unlike now, when we have a weekdayish world where we have to do Avodas Habirurim, in that time, in that seventh millennium, the Avodas Habirurim will be completed, and it'll be a Shabbosic world. The Omer, and we see that they were talking about in periods of 1,000 years, of 1,000 years at a time. Shenem, the Omer, because the pasuk says ki elof shana beinecha ki yom esmel, a thousand days in your eyes, Hashem, are like yesterday, ki yavar, when it passes. So we see that a day of Hashem is 1,000 years. Of course, we have all the discussion in many places. For example, that the first 1,000 years of the world corresponds to Sunday, the day of Chesed, and the second 1,000 to the year of Gvura, and so forth. And now, as I've ever talked about many times, we're in Erev Shabbos after Chatzos. We're already, it's Erev Shabbos after the middle of the day. It's already Shabbos is already knocking on the door. The Gemara continues. Tonad Ve'Eliyahu, we learn a Braisa and a Braisa from the Yeshiva of Eliyahu, as we talked about earlier in the Perek, Be'er Sheva holds that this is a Tana named Eliyahu, and others hold it means Eliyahu Anavi. Anyway, Sheshes Alafim Shana Hava Alma. The world, as we know it, lasts for 6,000 years, and those 6,000 are divided as follows. Shnei Alafim Toihu, 2,000 years of Toihu, before the Torah even began to be, there was no Torah in the world, so the world was like Toihu, it was like emptiness. Nothing lasting, nothing major is being accomplished during that time. It's almost as if that time was wasted. And Sidious that talks about it means it was a time of Olam HaTohu, which means there's tremendous energies, but they don't produce anything useful, etc. That was the time during which you have the generations before the Mabul, and the Mabul itself, and then so forth, until Avraham Avinu comes along. Shnei Alafim Torah, then you have 2,000 years of Torah. That's the 2,000 years counts. Now, Rashi gives the whole calculation over here. The gist of it is the 2,000 years begins from when Avraham was 52 years old. Avraham was born in the year 1948, since creation. When he turned 52 was the year 2000. That was the year when he and Sarah began as a nefesh, asher osu b'choron, where they're working on being Megaya. Avraham Megaya the men, Sarah Megaya the women. That began then. So in that sense, that begins the era of Torah. Even though the Torah itself was not given on Har Sinai for another 400 odd years, but the year 2000 already begins the 2,000 years of Torah. And it lasts until the year 4,000, Rashi points out, is 172 years after the Churban Bayis Sheni. Now, what do we mean by calling that the years of Torah, and then after that is Yemos HaMashiach? So Rashi explains, it doesn't mean that after that there's no Torah as well. It means that just during that time, there's Torah without Mashiach, and then the following 2,000 years after that is supposed to be the time of Torah with Mashiach. With that said, there are a number of different mephoshim that talk about that in a certain sense, Torah, there's a certain degree of Torah that ceased after the year 4,000. Marashah talks about that it means that that you have after that you have the great Bate Medrash scattered. You didn't have people are not coming to in the time of the Tanoim versus the Amoraim. You don't have as much of an intensity of learning Torah as you had before. The year 4,000 approximately marks the end of the time of the Mishnah and the beginning of the time of the Amoraim. There's also a very interesting idea that the Chazon Ish says about this. Now, like this, we have, for example, can you think of Hilchos Treifos? We have the various conditions which make an animal treifa. Now, the Rambam stresses that we don't go with modern medicine according to that. Even if modern veterinarians will tell us that a certain condition is not fatal, nevertheless, in halacha, we consider it a treifa. And vice versa, if they tell us something is fatal, but it's not on the list. Well, why should that be so? The Chazon Ish explains based on our Gemara. Since we're saying there were 2,000 years of Torah, meaning that the era of Torah ends in the year 4,000 since creation, that means the parameters of what's determined in Torah, for example, what is and isn't treif, is dependent on how conditions were then. So even though since then, people's and animals' natures may have changed, and new medical techniques may have been invented, and so on and so forth, nevertheless, the definitions of what is and isn't treifa, according to Torah, are determined by how it was during those 2,000 years. Anyway, the Gemara continues. Then there's 2,000 years of Yemos HaMashiach, 2,000 years during which Mashiach should come. Because of our Avedis, because of our many Avedis, Yotsu Mehem Mashi Yotsu, whatever has passed of them has already passed, meaning in other words, we're long past the year 4,000, and Mashiach still hasn't come yet. But in other words, in principle, the idea is, from the year 4,000 was supposed to be the time when it's the world is getting ready for Mashiach. One thing you do find, you know, is that before up to the year 4000, the Roman Empire in particular was the world's superpower. Beginning around that time, beginning around the year 4000, is when it started collapsing, and eventually it fell apart altogether. So that's a certain stage in that Hashem was preparing the world for Mashiach. Given that, it has to be. All the Mashiach b'Hartzion, Lushpet Esar Esav, part of Mashiach coming, is that the power of Rome is destroyed. So therefore, that was starting at that time. So Hashem was clearly making that happen, beginning already at that time, beginning from the year 240 CE or thereabouts, where the Roman Empire went through a great period of crisis and started to fall apart, and that could have been, in other words, that could have been the beginning of Mashiach's coming had it been the time for it. So the Gemara continues. Eliyahu says to Rabbi Yehuda, the brother of Rabbi Salah Hasidah, apparently Rabbi Salah Hasidah was better known, and his brother was being identified as his brother. Anyway, Eliyahu tells him, Eina olam pachas mishmonim v'chamisha yovlus. The world is going to last not less than 85 yovlus. A yovel being 50 years, 85 times 50 equals 4,250 years. Or but yovel achron ben David ba, sometime in that last yovel, ben David Mashiach will come. Omalei, so Rabbi Yehuda asks, "B'tchilasa over sofa? Do you mean at the beginning of that last yovel or at the end of it?" So, in other words, if we're saying that you have 84 complete yovels, let's say, and then Mashiach comes at the beginning of the 85th yovel cycle, or do we mean the end of the 85th is when Mashiach is going to come? Omalei, and Eliyahu tells him, "Any idea? That I don't know." Rabbi Yehuda asks him, "Kola or ain't kola? Is it going to finish or is it not going to finish before Mashiach comes? In other words, is Mashiach going to come at the end of it or not?" And again, Omale ain't a day, he says, "I don't know." Now, what does that mean? The kola or ain't kola seems to be a repetition of the previous question. Marshall explains what it means is he's asking, "Do you mean that that 85 yovlos is the deadline by which Mashiach has to come, or does that mean that's the beginning of the time when Mashiach is ready to come?" So he says, "I don't know." The Gemara actually, Ravina and Rav Ashi lived. Rav Ashi was Nifkur in the year 4187, so that's about 75 years before the about 65 years before this figure that the Gemara is talking about. Rav Ashi Omar, so Rav Ashi explains, Hochi Omalei, Eliyahu was telling Rav Yehuda as follows, Ad Hocho Lo Tistichilei, up until that point, don't expect Mashiach, not that Mashiach can't come at any time, but in other words, as the Gemara is going to talk, we'll learn about tomorrow, you have Be'ita and you have Achishena, up until that point, you know it's not Be'ita. If Mashiach comes during that time, it must be Achishena, must be that Mashiach came earlier than expected. But after that year, 4250, then you can be expecting that at any time can be the actual time that Hashem predetermined when Mashiach is going to come. Because again, as we're going to learn in the Gemara tomorrow, you have two different timetables for Mashiach. You have Be'ita, you have a certain defined time that Hashem decided and didn't reveal it to anybody of when Mashiach is going to come no matter what. And then you have a time, Achishena, at any time Mashiach can come sooner than that because of our Ma'asim Tovim. So Rav Ashi is saying, up till the year 4250 is not the time of Be'ita, yet after that it is. The Gemara continues, Shalach le Rav Chonan bar Tachlifa le Rav Yosef. Rav Chonan bar Tachlifa sent a message to Rav Yosef. Matsasi Odom Echad, I met up with a certain man, over Yodim Megillah Achas Ksuva Ashuris for Loshin Kodesh. He had in his hand a scroll that was written in Ksav Ashuri, in Hebrew script, and in Loshin Kodesh. So therefore that shows that it must be a Jewish document. Had it been, for example, not in Ksav Ashuri, then it would be from the Goyim or from the Kusim or whatever, but like this, when it's in Ksav Ashuri and in Lashon Kodesh, then you know it was written by Jews. Amarti lezuminayim loch, so I asked the man, where'd you get this document? Amali tells me, l'chayolos shoroyim niskauti, I hired myself out as an assistant to a Roman army unit, and I found this document among the treasures of Rome. So in other words, apparently the idea is they must have plundered it together with the plunder of Yerushalayim or something, and therefore I found it in some archive in Rome. The Kosova, this document said, La'achad dalar alofim wasayim betishim ve'echad shana l'bri oseh shal olam, after 4,291 years since the world was created, the year 4291 since creation, which comes out to 531 of the common era, so you're talking a little under 1,500 years ago, ha'olam yitayim, the world as we know it will end. Hagoyis Agura gives a different gives of 4,231 based on a Gemara in Erchin that mentions that as one of the kitzim for Mashiach. Then the document continued, Mehen Mechomis Taninim, in the time after that, some of the time there's going to be wars of Taninim. Rashi explains, Taninim means fish. So in other words, there's going to be great wars between the fish. Marsha says, what do you care what the fish are doing with one another? So he explains that Taninim means metaphorically the great world powers are going to be fighting against one another. In particular, the Mephoshim will explain that Taninim would mean world powers that have sea power, that have navies. So part of the time is going to be that, and the Hen Melchomas Gog u'Magog. During that time, there's also going to be the wars of Gog u'Magog. V'ashar Yemosim Mashiach. The rest of the time is going to be Yemosim Mashiach when we're not subject to the Goyim and Mashiach comes. V'ena Kadosh Baruch Hu Machadosh Eseloma El Alach Hashivas Alafim Shana. Hashem will not renew His world and recreate the world until after 7,000 years. So that's what it said in this document. What it means since that time has long since passed, we really don't know at this point. Historically, that time, 524-291, there were tremendous great world power battles between the Romans and the Persians, and it was basically the beginning of the Middle Ages, but obviously Mashiach didn't come then, so what that means, we don't know. Rav Acha Brei D'Rava says the document didn't say 4,291, it said 5,000, which can either mean that he says that it said 5,000 and not 4,291, or there are some Mephoshim explain that it means he was saying that instead of 4,291, it said 5,291. Which also, I mean, that's long past. 5,291 is 1531 of the Common Era. That was about 500 years ago. Again, Mashiach has not come yet. So what all this means, we still have to hope and expect, as the Gemara is going to go on to say now, Mashiach can come at any time. But what all these kitzim mean, the usual explanation of it is these are all times when it was more likely for Mashiach to come. It was more of an Eis Ratzon that Mashiach could come. But nevertheless, he didn't. This is the Rebbe often talked about, and they use the expression "kolu kol kitzim." That all, well, the Gemara actually mentions this further down on the Amud. All the kitzim have gone, and really, at this point, it's incomprehensible why Mashiach hasn't come yet. But that's how it is. We still are looking forward to Mashiach, but we understand that at this point, it's not a matter of looking forward to one or another ketz. We just know Mashiach can come at any moment. So the Gemara continues, Tanya of Nosan Omer, Mikra Ze Noike V'yored Ad Dahoim. The following pasuk that he's going to quote, he uses down all the way to the depths, meaning the same way as the depths of the earth. You can't ever delve to the bottom of them, the same way nobody's ever going to delve down to the bottom of what the following pasuk means. The pasuk says, Ki Oid Chozer Mamoyed, there is yet a vision of the time, when Mashiach is going to come, v'yafeach lakeitz, and people will be speaking of the ketz, v'lo yechaziv, and he won't be dishonest. The Mashiach will come. He won't fail us. Im yismachma, even if Mashiach is delayed, chakeloy, expect him, hope for him, ki voyovay, because he will certainly come, lo yaachel, he will not be delayed. So this is the pasuk is saying, in short, in other words, no matter how long it takes until Mashiach comes, don't give up on him. He's going to come. So this pasuk, Rav Nosson is saying, pierces down to the depths. In other words, don't think that there are any kitzim that you can rely on. No, even as every ketz comes and goes, nevertheless, the Mashiach may be delayed beyond what you thought. He's going to come, but nevertheless, he's going to come. So he says, Loi ked Rabbi Seinu, shoyudoshin ad idon, idon and uplag idon. So not like Rabbi Seinu, not like all Rebbes who darshin a ketz from based on a pasuk in Daniel, where he says that the golos will last ad idon, idon and uplag idon, until a time times and half of a time, which means Rashi calculates idon would be a time equal to Golos Mitzrayim, which was 210 years. Idonin would be twice that, so far you have three times that, or plag idon, and a half of that would be. So therefore, so it would come out, Rashi says, to 1,400 years. Now, whether you calculate from Chorban Bayis Rishon or whether you calculate from Chorban Bayis Sheni, 1,400 years have long since passed. The loy k'rab simloy, and not like k'rab simloy, show you dirish, he doushin based on a different pasuk, ha'chaltam lechem dimash, in capital pay of Tilim, it says, you have caused the Jewish people to eat bread of tears, v'tashkemoy b'dmois sholish, and you gave them to drink tears of sholish. So Rashi explains that what it means, according to Rav Simloy, what it means is the interval between Golos Mitzrayim and Golos Bavel is going to be one third of the length of Golos Edom. So meaning, in other words, Rashi makes the calculation, so it means it's going to be 1,410 years. And again, that's long since passed. The loy k'rab Akiva, shoy dirdish, not like Rabbi Akiva, who darshin based on a different pasuk, oid achas ma'ati, it's going to be just one, a little while, that there's going to be, the meaning, the Novi is talking at the beginning of the second Beis Hamikdash, the Jewish people are going to leave Golos Babel, build the second Beis Hamikdash, there's going to be a short time of covered for the Jewish people, and then, and then I will cause the heavens and the earth to shake, and as the pasuk continues, then I'll bring all the treasures of all the nations to Yerushalayim. So Rabbi Akiva understands that to mean, Oid achas ma'ati, there's going to be a little cupboard that's going to be given to the Jewish people, and then Mashiach is going to come after that. So in other words, in short, Rabbi Akiva was holding that not long after the Churban Bayis Sheni, Mashiach is going to come, and that didn't happen either. So Rav Nosson says, so all of those chachamim, they gave their drushes on what it means, that there's going to be a ketz, but all of those kitzim have passed, and therefore, obviously, the pasuk is telling you, no matter how many kitzim pass, don't give up, Mashiach is going to come. So what does it mean? So what was there as far as the honor of the Jewish people during and after the second Beis Mikdash? Malchus Rishon Shivim Shana, the first kingship of the Jewish people during the time of the second Beis Mikdash, the kingship of the Hashmonaim, lasted for 70 years. Rashi points out, the Gemara elsewhere explains that the whole dynasty of the Hashmonaim ruled for a total of 103 years. When we say 70 of a year, we mean 70 years of complete independence. At the end of it, the Romans took over Eretz Yisrael, and for the last couple of decades of the Hashmonaim, they were basically puppet kings of the Romans. So then 70 years of complete independence, Malchus Shnia Chamishim Ushtayim, the second kingship, which is of Hurdus and his successors, was for 52 years. Malchus Ben Kuziva, Shtei Shana Lamechta, and the rulership of Ben Kuziva, who we learned earlier about in the Perek, Bar Kochba, who claimed to be Mashiach, his kingship was 2.5 years, and ever since then, the Jewish people have not had a king. Rashi also brings an explanation, although he rejects it, that Oid Achas Ma'ati means the Jewish people will be given a little bit of Malchus after the Churban, and then after that, Hinini Marish Shemaim Es Aretz. Then Hashem says, I'll cause the heavens and earth to shake, and Mashiach will come. But Rashi says no, because we see there have been many times after the Churban when Jewish people had kingship here and there, and Mashiach didn't come yet, so obviously that's not what it means. In any case, the point is that Rav Nosson is saying, so don't pay attention to any of those drushes. All of those kitzim have long since passed, and Mashiach hasn't come. So obviously, it means something else. It means that Mashiach is going to come when he comes, and you just need to expect him and not be calculating kitzim. So the Gemara continues, "My v'yafeach laketz v'lo yechaziv." The phrase that we had in the pasuk, "V'yafeach," he will speak of the ketz, and he will not be unfaithful. So what's this lashon v'yafeach? Amar Rav Shmuel Bar Achmeni, Amar Rav Yonasan, kipach asman shamachash v'kitzin. It means those who try to calculate kitzin, their bones or their asmos, their soul should be blown out, should be disappointed, and then dry up. Shaul Yoimim, these are the kind of people who say kibin shi'igia as a ketz. Once the ketz that we calculated came, b'loy ba, and Mashiach didn't come, shuvayne ba, such people claim that once the ketz came and Mashiach didn't come, means chas v'shalom, he's never coming, so such people deserve to be blown up and disappointed because they're weakening people's amuna and Mashiach. Rather, you always have to be looking forward to Mashiach coming. Shenema, as the pasuk had said, im yismah mach chakeloi, even if Mashiach is delayed, wait and hope and expect for him. You're going to think, well, we're expecting Mashiach. Is Hashem waiting and hoping to bring Mashiach? It seems like Hashem is taking his time. No, Talmud Loma, Lachen Yechaka Hashem Lachananchem. Therefore, the pasuk says, therefore Hashem is looking forward to being merciful on you, to showing you grace, Lachen Yorum, and therefore Hashem is raising himself up, L'rachemchem, to have Rachmanus on you. In other words, yes, Hashem is very eager to bring Mashiach. Well, if we're looking forward to Mashiach and Hashem is looking forward to Mashiach, me ma'akev, then what's delaying it? The answer is midas hadin ma'akevus. The midas hadin is holding it back because the midas hadin is arguing that we're not worthy of Mashiach. Well, then if the midas hadin is holding back, onu lama machakin, then why are we looking forward to Mashiach? Shouldn't we just say, well, then we obviously aren't deserving, so forget about it? No. L'kabel schar, we do that in order to receive schar, the waiting and hoping and expecting for Geula itself gives us a schar. Marsha explains also the question was onu lo machaken, if we said on Aleph, Mashiach baba hesach adas, that Mashiach is supposed to come when we're least expecting him, so why are we constantly expecting Mashiach? And the answer is that itself helps increase our schar. Shenema, ashrei kol choichei lo, as the pasuk says, happy are all those who wait and expect for Hashem to help. And the point is, as Rebbe talked about in many sichas, the point is also that it means not just we're looking forward to Mashiach, it means we're preparing ourselves with Torah and mitzvahs. That also weakens the midas adin that we're saying over here that's arguing against it. And the point is, the hoping and the expecting itself motivates us to realize, after all, what you have in the world, in the wider Jewish world. They ask sometimes, this whole Mashiach campaign, doesn't this amount to doing Torah and mitzvahs for the sake of a reward? And we know it says in Tirkei Avos, you shouldn't do that. And the answer is not so much. Mashiach is not just a reward. Mashiach is the shleimos, is the tachlis of the whole purpose for which the Eibishter made the world in the first place. And it's the time when we can do mitzvahs in the best possible way, and therefore when we're looking forward to it and we're preparing ourselves for that, that itself is a schus that we are showing that we want that we want Hashem's purpose to be fulfilled in the world, and that we want our Torah and mitzvahs to be of the highest possible quality, and to be doing hundreds of mitzvahs that we can't even do now. Now here, by the way, the Gemara is saying that it's bad to calculate kitzim. We do find throughout the generations many G'dayli Yisrael did. Reb Sadia Goyen gave one for a couple of decades after his lifetime. Rashi over here in the Gemara and on the Pesukim in Daniel gives one. The Ramban famously in his famous disputation against the Goyim and the Meshumodim over there gave one. In fact, the Ramban prefaces it by saying, I know it's going to be very hard for the Jews who are hearing this to hear what I'm saying, but you should know I'm giving a ketz for 95 years from now. So nobody alive now that I'm is saying is going to be alive to see this. But nevertheless, this is based on my analysis of the Pesukim, this is what's going to happen. That Rambam gives in a Geras Teiman gives one. Different G'dayli Yisrael throughout all the generations have given different kitzim. One point is, they explain, now we hear the Gemara saying that you shouldn't do that. One point is, in each time, this was people's emunah, and Mashiach was weakening, and therefore they had to give them a boost by telling them Mashiach really is very close. So it wasn't meant. Now, unlike the Gemara is saying over here, a person might calculate a ketz, and then once that date passes, he says, forget about it, Mashiach's not coming, Chas v'Shalom. No, these G'dayli Yisrael never said that. What they were saying is, there's a time when Mashiach can come, and in retrospect, since it didn't happen, we understand that was a time when Mashiach was more likely to come. It was an Eis Ratzon, and Mashiach didn't actually come, but nevertheless, it doesn't mean that there was nothing to it, and it doesn't mean, Chas v'Shalom, that Mashiach won't come. He will come, and when he comes, then we'll understand what all those kitzim meant. Nowadays, by the way, I don't know of any ketz nowadays that's past our times, except for they talk about the year 6000 itself, like we talked in the Gemara before. You look in different Sfarim, you find kitzim for this year and that year. Famously, the Tzemach Tzedek Alter Rebbe, for example, gave one for the year Tov Resh Ches. The G'dayli Yisrael gave one for the year Tov Shin Nun. Now we're literally past the time of all the kitzim. I don't know of any written ketz where anybody says past the year Tov Shin Pei Hei in the year, or past the year Tov Shin Pei Hei that Mashiach will come. So we're literally past all the kitzim, and it's high time for Mashiach to come, in short. So the Gemara continues, since we mentioned this pasuk, Ashrei Kol Choychei Loi, so the Gemara brings a different drosha on it. Amar Abaya, Loi Pochus Alma Mitzlosin V'Shisa Tzadiki D'Mekabli Apish Shechina V'Chol Dora. In every generation, there are no less than 36 tzadikim who welcome the face of the Shechina. Shenema, Ashrei Kol Choychei Loi, as the pasuk says, fortunate are all those who hope for him, and Loi, the Gematria Tzlosin V'Shita Havu, the word Loi is Gematria 36. So the Gemara says, Eini, so you're telling me there are 36 high-level tzaddikim like that, but no more, or not much more. V'Amar Rava, but Rava also says, Dora Dekame Kudshabrichu, the rows of tzaddikim who sit around Hashem, very close to Hashem, Kamni Srei Alfi Parsa Havoi, is 18,000 parsa in size. So if you think of how many people fit in a parsa, then it's an enormous number of people. Fine, you have the word parsa as in brackets over here in other Gemaras, doesn't have that means 18,000 people. Still, 18,000 is a lot more than 36. Shenemar, as the pasuk says about Yerushalayim, La'asid Lavish, Saviv, Shemayna Asa Aleph, surrounding it are 18,000. In context, the pasuk is talking about the circumference of Yerushalayim. It's going to be a square, 4,500 kanim on each side, totaling 18,000. But why does it need to tell us that when we could do the math ourselves? It hints that there are 18,000 close, high-level tzaddikim to Hashem, to Hashem's presence. And the answer is like Kasha, Hodim is Stakli Bis Maklaya Meira, Hodim is Stakli Bis Maklaya She'enim Meira. The answer is the 36 are the ones who are able to see Hashem clearly through a clear glass, so to speak. The ones who, the 18,000 are the ones who can't see Hashem as clearly, like they see through, so to speak, a darkened glass. Now, we say that Moshe Rabbeinu was the only one who was mistakoba Svaklaria Meira, so the Sfas Emes gives an answer. Moshe was able to have his Svaklaria Meira when he was alive. He were talking about the Tzadikim after they pass away, which ones are able to see the Svaklaria Meira, and when not, you have 36 versus 18,000. So the Gemara asks, on the other hand, Amina Fishi Kulahai, are you telling me you have so many high-level Tzadikim? When Shimon Yochai says, Ra'isi b'nei aliyah, I've seen the b'nei aliyah, the really, really high-level tzaddikim, Rahim Mu'atin, and they're very few. As the Alter Rebbe explains in Perek Yod of Tanya, b'nei aliyah has a couple of meanings over here. It means the ones who are doing, who are serving Hashem purely for the sake of Hashem and not at all for their own, not even for themselves in order to come closer to Hashem, but purely because of the Ratzon Elyon, or because also they're the ones, Mahapchin, Hashaychel, and Ahura, they're the ones who have the ability to transform the darkness of the world into light, and elevate it through other course. Anyway, so Rehin Mu'atin, and there are very few. Reb Shimon Yochai says, "In Elohim, if there are 1,000 of them, and Niu Bni Mehem, then I and my son Reb Elazar are among those 1,000. In Meahem, if there's only 100 of them, and Niu Bni Mehem, then also I and my son will be among them." He knew, Minashamayim, that he and his son are going to be between them no matter what. In Shnayim, Hem, and if there's only 2, Niu Bni Mehem, then they are me and my son. So we see that when we talk about the high-level tzaddikim like that, we're talking about a lot less than 18,000. And the answer is, loikasha, hod da'ayvi b'bar, hod da'ayvi b'loy bar. There's a difference between those who are able to come in without permission, like they don't need to ask permission to come in to Hashem's presence, they can just come in anytime they want, versus, so da'ayvi b'bar means they need permission. They're high-level tzaddikim, but nevertheless, they need permission to enter Hashem's presence, versus da'ayvi b'loy bar, they don't need that permission, they can just walk in anytime they want. Different explanation as bar means a son, that you should have a really high-level tzaddik, and his son is a very rare thing, and here you have Reb Shimon Yochai is saying about himself and Reb Elazar, but many other tzaddikim don't have that their children are on that high level. So Marsha explains over here, in other words, that what you have is, so you have, there's ones who are misakal with baklaya meira. They're able to see Hashem very clearly, but nevertheless, they still need permission to come into Hashem's presence. So in other words, these things, it's not a person automatically has this. A person has this, and automatically has this. Each of these are different degrees of closeness. Well, of course, where a person might have one of them and not another, or he might have the other one and not the first one. So we'll continue tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, talking about this whole matter of Mashiach coming and what the prerequisites are for Mashiach to come.